This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
K&C Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan, your official home of the Texas Rangers. We are 9 days away from the official start of the Rangers season, so we bring on for a new season the manager of the Texas Rangers, Chris Woodward. Now, Coach, how are you feeling only 9 days out from the start of the season? Excited? Nervous? Still waiting to see if this is actually all going to happen? Where are we at with this?
No, it's good to talk to you guys. It's good to talk baseball. And obviously with this off time, there's a lot of things we had to kind of decide and communicate with our players and our staff. So I'm super excited. Obviously, we all couldn't wait to get back in the action, and guys couldn't wait to get back and get on our new ballpark. And it's been great so far. But listen, I think the challenge of this year is being able to kind of roll with the punches and maybe dodge some obstacles when you can and take others head on. It's not going to be a perfect season, and we know that. We've already had Joey, out for a while. We got Brett Martin out. We've had some other guys kind of, a couple guys banged up the other day. But this year is going to be totally different than anything we've ever dealt with. So I think the ability to kind of just, like I said, bob and weave when you can and then take others head on is really important. We got to be resilient, and we just got to stay positive through it all.
Woody, your starting catcher, Robinson Chirinos, talking about that. He got injured last night, or Monday, I believe. Can you give us an idea of maybe how long that's going to be and just the what your catching rotation could look like to start the season?
Yeah, it's, thankfully, we're hoping that we kind of dodged a bullet there. When it first happened, obviously it made me nervous because I thought, it's his ankle, for a catcher, the Buster Posey thing, you see that in your head. And, Robbie didn't feel real comfortable walking off the field, but he was able to walk off the field. So that was good. And the next day he showed up and it wasn't as swollen as we anticipated. So we may have avoided some, some long-term damage there. Hopefully he'll be, he may miss the very start of the year, but there's actually a chance he could be ready to start. We have 3 off days in the first week or first 10 days. So that could help him a lot, take the load off him a little bit, but we're looking to get him back sooner than than I kind of anticipated when I first saw it. Jose Trevino and Jeff Mathis are both, we kind of planned on having 3 guys to start. So if Robbie's not fully ready, obviously we have a bunch of other guys that are in camp that could, take on that 3rd catcher. But, I feel real confident with Jose and Jeff. Jose's had a ton of, growth in the last year. He's everything we look for in a catcher, and I think offensively he's come a long way. So I feel pretty comfortable even if Robbie, doesn't start the year.
Obviously at times last year and then even predating you, the team has struggled offensively at times at the catcher position, but that can be said across the league. Is it just the basic wear and tear the position takes out on the player that leads to like maybe lower offensive stats across the board for catcher as opposed to other spots?
Yeah, it's such a demanding position, especially nowadays with, with more information. I know some guys wear like a little wristband to kind of, fill them in on some of the highlights of how we want to attack certain hitters. But it's the information is so sophisticated now. And, there's clearly results because of the sophistication. Like, when you pitch certain guys certain ways with, your pitchers knowing what their strengths are, it's a much more advanced game of chess than probably it ever has been. So when you execute pitches, you can get them out. And, to call the right pitches, it takes a lot. It takes a lot of work. Talking with our analytic guys, obviously having the in-game feel, to be able to call a game. And then the physical demands, and I know here, in Texas, yeah. I don't know how Pudge did it, but being able to catch on, on a semi-daily basis, in this heat, thank goodness we don't have to deal with that anymore. So I think, you know, just the physical mental demands, you know, cause a lot of, you know, lack of, it's not that they don't work on their hitting. It's just really difficult. You know, they take a foul tip off the wrist, they take a foul tip off the shoulder. Now you got to go out and compete against, you know, with a sore left arm, basically, to try to swing a bat, you know, against major league pitching, the upper 90s guy. It's just really a lot of stress and a lot of difficulty in doing it. So I never wanted to put the gear on, but I definitely respect anybody that put the gear on and tried to, you know, accomplish both tasks in the same game.
I'm kind of surprised by that, Woody. You did everything in your career, so I'm surprised that you didn't tell a skipper at one point, I'll throw on the gear if you need me to throw on that gear.
Oh, it was asked. It was asked many times. Like, one year I played all seven, you know, started at all seven positions. I wanted to pitch more than anything, but I had no desire. They asked me so many times, hey, you want to play all nine positions? I said no, because I'll play eight. I'll play eight. I don't want to put the gear on. I do not want to put the gear on.
You actually have a guy who is getting a lot of headlines right now. You're getting to see it. Who can play all nine positions is Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. Can you give us an idea of his improvements or what he's doing to kind of get a really strong look here during summer camp?
Yeah, he's probably, you know, for me, has been the most impressive player that I've seen in a long time. Everything we discussed last year, you know, obviously we brought him in. He was we put him in the catching position, which I think in a lot of ways helps him out, you know, especially mentally. You know, like I just said, being able to handle all that. And then when you take him out of that position, it gives you a new perspective when you actually get into the field. So we always knew he was a really good defender. He's quick. You know, he can play any position on the infield. He's a really, really good third baseman. I was super impressed last year. The only, you know, issue, the only, you know, growth that we wanted to see was, you know, his bat. And there was a couple things, you know, technique and then also the strength to go with it. You know, because he's a strong kid, but he wasn't using his lower half, you know, technique-wise. He wasn't maximizing, you know, what he possibly could. But every challenge we gave him going into the offseason, he took it, came back, looks like a new person. You know, it looks similar to what he looked like last year, but the strength and the swing, everything, you know, the mentality was always there. The grind was always there. The bat to ball was always there, but now you're seeing, you know, the ball come off his bat, you know, so much harder on a consistent basis. So he's forcing my hand, man. Like he's really, you know, and like that grit and that, you know, that grind that he has on a every pitch basis is something that we, you know, that I demand from all our guys, but he resembles that in so many ways. So I'm so proud of the kid. And he's taking it on, man. He's basically, like I said, forcing my hand to not take him out of the lineup.
That's great. We got Chris Woodward here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. And I think a player that kind of was in a similar kind of role last year, Danny Santana, Mike's kid's favorite player. and I know, like, you know, kind of the focus is going to be, you know, center field for him this year. And I just wanted to kind of get an idea of, I don't know what your expectations or what your goals are set for a guy, but what are you looking for from Santana to go from last year to this year?
Yeah, he's another guy that, you know, obviously you just mentioned it. The growth that I've seen in Danny, he's a free swinger before. When we first got him, if you threw him a strike, he was going to pound it. But he had a tendency to chase pitches, and he wants to hit. You know, that's just his DNA. He just wants to go up there and hit. So he's really taken an understanding and learning, you know, the strike zone, all his cage work, his on-field work, his BP. It's all committed to that because he knows that if he stays in the strike zone in the batter's box, first of all, he's going to do a ton of damage because he's got probably more power than – you know, maybe Joey has more, obviously, but on a consistent basis, if he puts the barrel on the ball, it doesn't come back. And we saw that last year. So if he can stay in the strike zone, he's going to do a ton of damage, and he's going to walk more because of the fear factor. Teams fear him, and they know that he has a tendency to chase, so they're going to, you know, hit the corners, pitch off the plate a little bit, and try to get him to chase it. But if he doesn't chase, now we're talking about a potential superstar. So he understands that. He works at it. He's always kind of fighting the urge to just go up and swing at everything. But he's really worked hard at it. So, you know, playing center field, the good thing is he can play anywhere if we had to. I think the focus right now is to just make sure he gets consistent at bats in a consistent position. It takes a little bit of the, you know, mental strain off him to have to play everywhere. But we know if somebody goes down or if we need him to play somewhere else, he can. I mean, he can play any position on the field.
Now, we're talking with Chris Woodward right here on 105.3 The Fan. You said consistent at bats with a consistent position that kind of speaks a little bit, at least to me, to potentially Nick Solak. What kind of anticipation do you have for him? And is he another guy who could maybe force your hand by you needing to put him in the lineup?
I'm pretty sure he will force my hand. Just knowing Nick, you know, he kind of, him and Kiner, similar makeup. You know, they're kind of silent assassins. They just go about their business, you know, in such a, you know, a great way, it's especially for a younger player. You know, Nick has a really good understanding of who he is, but he's always still trying to learn and get better. But his at-bat quality is off the chart. You know, he does not take one pitch off. There is no give-in in his game at all. So, you know, whether that's – I know Willie's kind of banged up right now. So if Willie doesn't start the season, you know, if he's on the DL, then obviously that opens up. I would probably play Nick, you know, pretty much every day in left field based on the way he's going about his business. I feel really comfortable with him in the outfield. I also feel comfortable with him at, you know, either second or first base. So, you know, he obviously has some versatility, and it helps a lot. He's just got to earn his way kind of into the starting lineup, just the way everybody else I expect to. But both those guys are really, really hungry to get the at-bats.
Since we are close, is the anticipation that Willie Calhoun will start the season not ready to roll?
Don't tell Willie that.
Sure.
You know, he's dying to, you know, I feel bad for him because obviously the, you know, getting hit in the face right before, you know, the last potential startup to the season. And then this time, you know, he gets banged up a little bit with his hip flexor growing issue. So if he's not ready, like, he'll be ready shortly after. I just don't know if we don't want to, last thing I want to do is for him to try to rush back for opening day and then for him to severely hurt it. Now he's out pretty much the whole year. 2 months is not a long time. So if you have a significant, you know, muscle injury or tear, you're looking at 6 weeks, which is pretty much the entire season. So we want to try to avoid that the best we can.
Woody, in the history of me being a Texas Ranger fan, I can't remember where going into a season, at least the media is saying the strength of the Texas Rangers is the starting rotation. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering, with you seeing this team and getting prepared, you know, 8-9 days away from your first regular season game, are you seeing that right now? Are you loving what you're seeing from your starting rotation, or is it, you know, is your maybe offense getting underhyped, your pitching getting overhyped? Can you give us an idea what you're seeing there?
I think a little bit of all that. I'm not superstitious, but I'm not going to say anything to jinx anything. But yes, I'm extremely happy with, you know, our starting pitching, and I was excited before, mm-hmm. you know, in the regular setting as we start the 162 game season. I was ecstatic just about where they were and how they came into camp ready. So we have this 3.5 month period off, and what these guys did in that off time is remarkable. You know, you have a chance. And listen, our first goal throughout this whole thing was to stay safe. Like, we did not push these guys to do anything that was against protocols or go out and, you know, break, you know, county protocols or anything like that. But what they did with what they had available was nothing short of remarkable, honestly. You know, Corey Kluber's throwing bullpens in his backyard, you know, into a net off a portable mound, but at high intensity, Lance Lynn in his basement, like, doing the things that to get ready. So when they came into camp, all five guys, you know, are far ahead of where I know most guys are, which gives us a huge advantage because not only do we have good starting pitching, but in that 3 month off period, you know, they may have increased that advantage a little bit. So I'm super excited. Our players are super excited. They've watched it. They've had to face them, you know, pretty much every time out. We put our best, you know, our basically our starting lineup or our best lineup out there against our main guys just to get the competition going. And not one of them has taken, you know, Mikey comes out there, they're pretty intense, you know, in their competitiveness, even in these, you know, inter-squad games. They're not typical inter-squad games that we're used to seeing. So I'm super excited. I don't want to jinx anything and have anybody go down, but if those five guys are healthy to start the year, we got a pretty good chance to hit the ground running.
Well, and right there, Woody, I like that, hit the ground running. I wonder if there is a little bit of a different sense of urgency to start quickly this year with only 60 games to go here. And then I also wonder from you, like, I wonder if you thought about it, how do you think the fans can help without being in the stadium? Is there anything that the fan base out here can do to really keep these guys rocking?
Yeah, you know what? I think the support that I've, you know, that I've felt, and I know our players have felt throughout all this, as fans want us to play. Like, obviously we have a lot of fans out there, and them not being in the stadium, you know, kills me because I look at that stadium every time I walk in it, and it's just a magnificent, like, cathedral that I know fans would love to be a part of. And it's gonna, I feel like it's going to be loud. It's going to be rocking, you know, and our fans are going to love it. But honestly, right now, you know, through, I don't know if it's through social media or however we do it. I know they're going to put cardboard cutouts and novel Rangers or whatever. I think that'd be really cool. But just honestly, the support through, you know, like I said, through social media or anything like that goes a long way with our players because they feel it. They're obviously, you know, in tune with everything out there on the, from a media standpoint. So that support, you know, will really help us through. And, you know, we feel it when we're, you know, maybe able to put some stuff in game, you know, where fans can kind of call in and say something to us, you know, during games and in between innings or something like that. I don't know. I applaud everybody for getting kind of creative in this setting, try to include everybody because it's such a big part of our success, you know, is obviously the fan support.
Awesome. And Woody, last question for you. I know you got to get back to probably another long day of getting ready for this season is, when you talk about a 60-game season, there's always a saying in baseball from pitching coaches or managers of, hey, you don't want to wear out your bullpen in April and May. You're going to pay for it in August and September. This is just August and September, so do you feel like as a manager you don't really have to worry about overusing your bullpen in this 60-game season?
It's funny because this year, is, I think the whole world flipped on its head because, you know, we have a 30-man roster to start, but a 26-man roster in September. So, you know, I've had meetings with our starting pitchers and also with our relievers and just saying, you know, with a 30-man roster, we're clearly going to have more relievers. Now, we have some relievers that are kind of banged up, so some of our main guys are going to be out potentially. So that, you know, obviously puts a lot of, you know, stress on the rest of the guys to kind of pick up the slack. But at no point do I, you know, yes, it's, we're in first place to start July 24th. You know, I mean, if that was the case, in a 162-game season, we'd be ecstatic. You know, we have the best record in baseball on July 24th. Like, we would do everything we could to keep pushing for the next 2 months, and that's where we're at. And I've stressed that to our players many times, and it's there for the taking. So, you know, however, you know, I see it, I may be more inclined to take guys out if they're not doing well, but I may be more inclined to leave them in if they're doing well. And that goes for the bullpen as well. So if, you know, if Corey Kluber is dominating, I'm not going to pull him at 90 pitches if he's okay. You know what I mean? Like, as long as everything is kind of, it's just a different way to manage, obviously, from day one, as opposed to day one in a 162-game season. We pretty much have it scheduled out, like, hey, we want to get this guy to 90 pitches to 100 pitches, you know, and kind of build him up. So then when we want to push on the gas, we can. I think right now, you know, I look at September. September is going to be where traditionally it was more reliever-based, and it's like you have 40 guys to deal with. We don't have as many guys. We have 26. We have less guys than we have for the beginning part. So it's going to be more emphasis on, you know, our back end of the bullpen and then also our starters, you know, because we can push the gas on those guys and just say, hey, man, go. You know what I mean? I'm Lance Lynn, Mike Minor, you know, Corey Kluber, Kyle, like Jordan, we're going to let you go if you're doing well. So it's a pretty fascinating, you know, it's so different than what we dealt with in the past. And especially for me as a manager, it's a far different scenario than it ever has been.
Now, Woody, you mentioned the fans. Are you a fan of the show The Office? Because you almost quoted something from The Office that a lot of people are referencing on our fan text right now. Do you like that television show?
You know what? I've only seen a few episodes, but I do like it. I love the humor in it.
Okay.
Obviously, Steve Carell, like, I'm a big fan.
Because you said, I'm not superstitious. Steve Carell at one point says, but I think I'm a little stitious. And people were really hoping that that's what you were going to say. So
if
you
want to, for sure.
Yeah, drop that in a future interview. I think you really will be doing well for yourself. Thank you very much for today. And we're looking forward to, obviously, this season very much.
Awesome. Good to talk baseball with you guys. Appreciate it.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.